Welcome to the U-Turn Podcast. This is the place to connect to who you truly are. We're bringing PhDs, experts, and leaders to help you elevate your mindset in your work life and in your love life so that you can see things differently and truly love your world. I'm Ashley Stahl. I'm a career expert, author, and TEDx speechwriter and booker, and I'm excited to bring you in to this week's episode. All right, U-Turn friends, you know that I bring a diverse array of humans onto the show, and that's why I wanted to bring Colin Egglesfeld onto the podcast. He is an actor, an author, an entrepreneur. He's created a really successful career in Hollywood, but also beyond that. And you've probably seen him in shows or movies like Something Borrowed, The Clientless Melrose Place. I actually live within a mile of Melrose Place. I walk there every day with my dog, all my children, so much more. And he also wrote a really inspirational memoir called Agile Artist about his experiences from his journey in small town, small town America, all the way over to the hugest stages in the world and how he's been benefiting others. He has a lot of insight about many different topics that I want to ask him about. He's really had different strategies he's had to take on to take care of himself and him, especially in his acting career, and also to survive cancer, not once, but actually twice. And he really loves motivational speaking. So today I'm going to talk to Colin about, first of all, he has retreats. One is coming up in April. It's called Manifest Rejuvenation and Wellness Retreat. Who doesn't want to manifest, rejuvenate, and be well? And then also he has a 90-day planner with these sprints to connect to your chakras as you are planning out your life to be intentional. So I also want to ask him about his communication class, everything he learned becoming an actor, and how we could take that into our lives. So everybody grab your pen because my cup runneth the fuck over. Like, where do we begin? Colin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. And I appreciate that introduction. It's weird just kind of hearing everything that I've been doing. I think we kind of forget the progress that we make in life. And I think a lot of the times we can be frustrated where we are at, but I just have to sometimes hear that and remind myself of where I'm at. And, you know, a lot of what my book is all about is just approaching life from that perspective of really tapping into what really matters most to you and not letting the negative thoughts in your head stop you from going after what matters most to you. And I appreciate you having me on the show to talk about everything that is inspiring to me.
Yeah, I feel like I need a good little fix today because usually I see myself as very well equipped to guide anyone into their heart. And I'm a pretty heart-led person. And I'm back in business builder mode. I haven't been in this mode in a long time. I feel like I built my business when I was 24, 25, leaving the Pentagon. And I literally bled for my business. And then it got into a flow and I enjoyed the flow for 10 years. And then I took a couple years off for my next idea. And now I'm booking and writing those TEDx talks. And it's been really interesting because there's just so much business building that goes into it. I almost feel like I'm in my 20s again, but a little bit smarter, obviously, than I was. But I'm business building, I'm hiring people, and it kind of takes me out of my heart. Like, it puts me in my brain, it puts me in the doing. I have a new partner and he is a very high achiever, and it kind of like plays to my little achievement part. And so I have to remind myself as he's out there achieving, I'm like, you don't have to do that. You can just be you and you're enough. So I want to help everyone come with me and use all of your wisdom to get back into their heart, to get back into themselves, and to balance the doing and the being, whatever that means for them. So just a quick intro, because I know I talked about you acting. Can we start off just talking a little bit about what you learned, if you had to really summarize it, which I know is years of your life? What were the biggest takeaways from your career, and kind of like how we can share some of those communication tools that you learned as an actor? Because we're all playing a character every day and you just to play it, you know?
Yeah, first off, I never thought that I would end up in Hollywood being in movies with Kate Hudson and Sylvester Stallone. Growing up, I was just more of an introvert. My older sister was really into like theater and stuff. So my mom would drag me to my sister's auditions. And so I kind of got exposed to, you know, that sort of aspect of life. I grew up in a small little town about an hour south of Chicago. You know, Midwestern upbringing. So it was the whole, you know, go to school, get a job, get married, have kids. And that's the life that I grew up in. But I think like a lot of people as we start to get older, we start to really question, is that really the path that is going to make me the most fulfilled as I, you know, get older? And I think sometimes we get to a place in our life where we start to question the places that we're at. And when I was at the University of Iowa, I studied biology pre-med, was planning on going to medical school. And the universe has a funny way of showing up when you really are in those curious spots. And I just was feeling a little doubtful about going to medical school and spending the next 4 to 8 years of my life doing something that I wasn't necessarily sure that it was going to be truly fulfilling for me. And I heard on the radio about this, come to the Model Search America. You can travel the world and, you know, do runway shows and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I was 21 years old, 22 years old. And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. So I went to the Davenport Holiday Inn, met these two ladies. They invited me to a model search. Next thing you know, I'm in Milan, Italy, doing Giorgio Armani and Versace's runway shows, and ended up in New York City doing some modeling thing, did like Calvin Klein underwear box and all this kind of crazy stuff. And I figured that would last maybe a year or two. And my agent started sending me on these commercial auditions that required no acting whatsoever. Get in a car, drive, show up in front of the mirror and, you know, Gillette, where you're like just shaving. And I started booking some of these commercials, and my agent said, have you ever thought about doing any TV or film? And up until that point, I was just terrified of being up in front of audiences, public speaking. You know, I think 70%, the statistic is that the number one fear people have is public speaking, more than death.
Yeah.
And I was one of those 70% where I just, for me, my body would literally shut down, hyperventilate, sweaty armpits. And so I was like, that's not something that I would even think about. But she said, why don't you just, you know, take this acting class, see if you like it. And when I went into the acting class, what I really loved about a class, and I would recommend anyone to take an acting class if you have the opportunity to, is that it was the first time where it was really a safe space to really study the art of authentically connecting with another human being. Where most of the time in life moves so quickly, and you know, we've got to figure out how to be clever or funny. And what was great about acting is that they give you the script, they give you the words, and so I didn't have to think about what to say. What you study is how to use these words to start to communicate with someone, not just from the analytical part of our brain that is conveying information, but when you really think about it, when you watch a movie, you could be sitting on your couch staring at your TV, which is literally just glass and plastic and metal. And within a half hour, you could have tears streaming down your eyes when you're just staring at this, you know, inanimate object. And what you're really doing is you're connecting to the emotions of the person that you're seeing on the screen. I think we forget that in life, and that's where we really truly, that's where the heart of life really lives. That's where we fall in love with people. That's how we feel like we can know and trust someone to want to do business with them. And I think we have been fed this steady diet of you need to get A's in school, you need to be the best, you need to know all the information before you go out there into the world to claim your stake at whatever it is that you want to do. And I'm the perfect example of, you don't have to be the best at what you do. I'm not the best actor. I may never win an Academy Award, but what I will tell you is that when I started to learn how to connect with another human being on these authentic levels, and I just learned some of these strategies and tools and techniques that I was able to apply, not just with my acting, I was able to apply them in my life outside of my acting classes, I really started to appreciate and feel more confident in my life. And this is what I now teach in my communications class. This is what I teach in my keynote speaking. And this is why I'm excited to be talking to you, because I'm just applied for my first TED Talk, and it scares the shit out of me. But this is the things that scare you most in life are the things that you have to be doing, because on the other side of that fear is the discovery of what you're capable of. That's where confidence lives. That's where your self-awareness and an expanded self-identity is accessible. And this is what really excites me about what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I remember talking to my therapist a couple of years ago, I was on a speaking tour and I was so befuddled, because I was like, man, I really love speaking, but I don't. And after figuring it out with her, I realized I love writing the talk. I don't want to give the talk. I've figured out how to manage my nervous system, and I don't feel that very human sensation of feeling like you're going to die when you step in front of a lot of people, which is totally valid. The fear equates to death because it does feel like you're dying when that many people are staring at you. Just so much attention on you. But it's funny because, you know, here we are 2 years later, I manifested a business where all I do is write the speech and hand it off for other people to give them. On one side, there's so much benefit in doing what you're afraid of. And I feel like I'm so used to doing things I'm afraid of that it's comfortable for me. But obviously, there's always a new level, a new devil of what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But I find it really interesting that you were, I mean, essentially, obviously did modeling, but in acting, you're paid to play a role. And I just find the metaphor or whatever the word is, I'm looking for that, so interesting that there's so many people out there that they kind of are paid to play a role in their everyday life, right? Like they show up at their job and they need to be in this role. And it can be really hard to feel like you have a sense of self in acting and in your process. What would you say are like the two biggest communication tools or personal tools that you learned that you take with you outside of acting and just kind of into your business, into your life, into your friendships?
Yeah, it's a good question. First and foremost, you absolutely just have to be passionate and love what you do, but on a deeper level. It's not just if you're a doctor, you know, you may like the aspects of the biology and the science behind it all, but if you're truly going to be successful with anything, you've got to love it at a deep core level. And this is what we talk about. The first thing we do in acting class when we're analyzing a character is we ask, what is the deep core value system of this character? And that could be love, truth, justice, power. And once you start to analyze and look at who people are as these core value systems, you start to be able to learn how to relate to them with a little bit more insight and confidence and knowing how to connect and create relationships that are going to be fruitful, or if you realize that they're just not the type of people that resonate with who you are and what you're up to, knowing who you are, you can definitively and lovingly say no instead of operating from that belief system of people pleasing or wanting to be liked. And so I would say knowing who you are on a deep core level is important and what matters to you. For me, what I loved about acting, like I said, it was the first time where I felt like I wasn't like nervous or anxious about being around people or being in front of people. Acting class was great. It was fun. But then as soon as you start putting me in these rooms, these auditions with a casting director, producer, director, where they're choosing you one of amongst of 200 to 400 other actors, the way in which life can show up for us is the second thing in answer to your question that it's important to look at is how does life show up for you? Mm-hmm. And what paradigm do you look at life? What lens do you look at life through? Do you look at life through the lens of, are people judging me? Or do you look at life through the lens of, where's the opportunity for me to shine with what I do best? Me, one of my acting teachers gave me this really amazing piece of advice. And she said, when you go into these rooms, most actors go into these rooms with the energy and the core value of, please pick me. I hope I get this role, or I hope I don't fuck this audition up. Mm. Whereas if you walk into the audition with the energy of, how can I be of service to help the casting director and the producer find the best actor for this role?
Right.
It may be me, it may not be me. But when you show up in life with the attitude of how can I contribute, much like when you go to a party, when you go to a party, you bring something, right? You bring some vodka or some tequila or some cake. And especially if it's something like if it's your grandmother's recipe, you're more likely to walk into that party with the excitement of wanting to give and share and have people try this. And so when we show up in life, most of the time we walk into life. And what I realized, I was walking into these auditions with the attitude of, I hope people approve of me. I hope they like me. I hope they pick me for this job. And so what I started to realize is when you show up in life with that energy of desperation and wanting something, people feel that.
Yeah.
And people can pick up and the energy first and foremost before anything comes out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
knowing that our communication is essentially only 7% of our communication is verbal.
Right.
The rest of it, 93% of it, is how you show up, your the energy that you bring, your posture, your appearance, the style that you show up in life with. And so this is where you can really start to play and create and essentially tap into who you are and create who you are, rather than be who you think you need to be based on where you grew up, what religion you grew up with, what your parents told you, what school told you. And a lot of what I realized is you've got to unlearn a lot of this messaging that society and school and, you know, other institutions press upon us, where what I like to call is we end up becoming miscast in our own life. Much like when you see an actor being miscast in a movie, you can ask yourself and look around, do I feel like I've been miscast in this role? And if that's how you're feeling,
yeah,
start thinking like a screenwriter and start to rewrite how you want your life to go. And this is what I do in my Inspire course. I have people start to approach life from the perspective of a screenwriter, where your act one is right now in your life. And we have people write out everyone that's in their life. Who are the characters in your life? What are you doing? Much like when you turn on your favorite movie. And then I have them go to act three. How do you want your act three to look like? What is the outcome? Who's around you? And how has in a movie, you watch a movie, a character goes through this journey and learns something and gains some insight to the point where they become a different person by the end of the movie in order to experience that new or elevated outcome. And then from there, we go back and to do right act two, which are all the obstacles and objections or roadblocks in the way that you're going to need to contend with. And who do you need to become in order to overcome these obstacles and objectives to accomplish on your act three? So it's kind of a long-winded answer to what you're talking about, but that's what I've learned most about what has given me the leverage to be able to really go into these auditions instead of feeling nervous and feeling like I'm going to throw up. Mm-hmm. Approach it, and this is what I share with people, is approaching life from this perspective of what do I have to offer and how can I show up with an attitude of service rather than what can I get out of it.
Yeah, I love that. Like, how can I serve? I always tell I used to coach a lot of coaches, not so much anymore. We have a coach on staff, but whenever they were thinking a lot about themselves, it was like, okay, this is just an alarm clock letting you know you're thinking about yourself and you're literally out of service. Get back in service. I love that you're saying that. One thing that I find really fun that you do is around manifesting. I love the topic of manifestation, and I just think I am a manifester. Like, I do it all day long, and I don't even know what I'm doing to do it. I know that there's practices and different practitioners have different practices. So I would love your take on how you approach manifesting, what you think is really like the secret sauce that makes magic of it. And I want to talk a little bit also about roadblocks, because I think a lot of people get too stuck in the roadblock, and they're going to think it sounds cute to talk about who they want to become, but they're not feeling in touch with that person. You know, I just started investing in the market and like being more of like in my responsible girl era with my money. And I just wasn't in touch with my future self. Like, obviously I wanted to be the responsible girl, but I wasn't. And so I feel like a lot of people probably are in similar circumstances where they're like, yeah, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it bad enough to do it. So yeah. Anything around manifesting and roadblocks, I would love to just hear your take on how to get started with really moving forward on that.
So I first learned about manifesting, the law of attraction, from this essentially like a life coach, acting coach that I met in Los Angeles. I'd been in LA after it was about 3 years. I'd been in New York for 2 years, moved out to LA to pursue my career as a professional actor. And I had some little bit of success, guest star role on Gilmore Girls and little things like that. But I would get close to that final round of actors where it was like between me and one or two other actors for these big acting jobs, but I wasn't sealing the deal. So I had the evidence that I had the technique and the skill to get to that point. But what I realized is that there was something maybe mentally going on that I wasn't fully embracing or believing or something. And this woman, her name is Wendy Spiller. A friend of mine told me to go see this woman, and she's kind of like a mindset coach for actors. Mm-hmm. So I went to go see her, and the first thing she started to have me do was write out everything that I was pissed off about Hollywood. Mm. And she wrote, basically had me write out all the things that were negative about my situation, lack of money, no job, feeling frustrated. And what she then started to have me transform into was what then I was grateful for. Mm. And then she had me start to do this visualization exercise where she had me imagine what my dream job would be. And so I'm sitting there in her office, and she had these crystals everywhere and this purple couch and leopard print carpeting. And I was like, at first I was like, where the frick am I right now? This is just kind of weird. But I just kind of was like, let me go with it. And I think sometimes we shut things down before really fully exploring them to see what they are. Mm-hmm. So I just went into this with an open mind of just kind of seeing what this process was all about. And she had me start to imagine what my dream job would be like. And she said, you know, what's your dream job? Close your eyes. And I said, World War II love story. She said, who was the director? I said, Steven Spielberg. She said, who is the actress that you're working with? And I said, Gwyneth Paltrow. So she had me do this exercise, and for about a half hour, she said, what color is the sky? What does the air feel like on your face? What does the sun feel like? Where are you? I said, I'm in Paris. And she had me describe the whole street. And she said, okay, now Steven is saying action. And she had me just live into the experience of what this whole vision was like. And I swear to God, 2 weeks later, I got a call from my agent for this World War II love story script. And I went to go pick it up, went to Starbucks, sat down, started reading it. And I was like, okay, this is a World War II love story. Went in for the audition the next day and ended up getting called back. I was one of three actors that got called back for it. And I had to do a chemistry read with this actress. Wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow, but looked very similar to her. And then later that night, it was a Friday night, my agent called me and said, I had a really great audition, but that they had picked another actor. Hmm. I was like, I was close again. Monday morning rolls around, my agent calls me up and says, the actor that they chose for the role in this film just got cast in a Steven Spielberg movie. And now they want you to come back and audition again because they're bringing in another actor. So I went in and auditioned again for the role and ended up booking this role. Now, say what you want, but 3 weeks prior, I was sitting on a woman's couch with leopard print carpeting, broke and not working. And 3 weeks later, I was on set shooting this World War II story with the Steven Spielberg connection to it somehow. And from there, I really just started to play with vision boards and just putting up on my wall in my apartment pictures of, you know, my dream jobs and people I wanted to work with. And this is what I started to realize was the missing ingredient with my career in terms of our mindset, because our brains are designed to keep us safe. Mm. Brains are designed on a very primitive evolutionary level to keep us from going out there and essentially putting ourselves in places, experiences of danger. But the problem is our subconscious doesn't realize that getting up in front of a group of audience is not the same thing as going out into the jungle and possibly being eaten by saber-toothed tigers. So what I started to realize too is that I needed to learn how to address the physiological subconscious belief systems that were shutting me down when I was going into these auditions. And a big factor in that was starting to believe and create the self-identity 2.0 version of Colin and what that looks like. And what we do is you take a piece of paper, write a line down the middle, and you write out who you are on the left side, and then write out who your self-identity 2.0 is on the right side. And you write out what are the five habits of my self-identity 5.0. What are my superhero traits of my self-identity 5.0 as connected to the outcome that you want? So in terms of my outcome was Academy Award winning actor. And so you write your self-identity, your dream self-identity on the right side of the paper. And then you start to think about what are the character traits, what are the habits of this type of person. So if you want to have a relationship, if you want to have a great job, if you want to be a millionaire, start looking at what are the habits, what are the character traits of that person where $1 million would appear, or the most amazing loving relationship would appear. And so you start putting more energy into that. And eventually you'll start to collapse the two versions of what you've created. And so the four ingredients with manifestation, what I've realized and what I've come up with, the first one is you got to have this attitude of gratitude. You've got to be grateful for what you currently have to be able to open up to receiving whatever abundance that you're looking to receive. Number two, you've got to have a specific idea of what you want in life. Not just, I want to be rich. Not just, I want to be a working actor. How much money do you want? Literally write that down. Mm-hmm. Get pictures. The Wendy Spiller, the woman who taught me all this stuff, she said, take the cover of a GQ magazine, cut your picture out and put it on there. And so your brains can start to see that you actually belong in this arena. Because again, our brains are designed to prevent us from moving into these arenas that our subconscious may perceive as dangerous. So you've got to start creating the certainty of what that looks like. And then you've got to visualize is the third step of what that looks like. And every day, just visualize and think about you actually not just thinking about it, but living in it. What does it feel like? What is it, the experience of that like? And then using some breathing techniques to breathe in that experience so it becomes real. Mm-hmm. Our brains don't know the difference between what's real and what's not real. In my book, Agile Artists, I talk about this experiment that this professor from University of Chicago did with three groups of people, brought them into a basketball court and had them shoot jump shots. And the first group of people, he said, okay, for the next month, you're going to come back here and practice shooting jump shots. And the second group, he said, the next group, you just go home and do nothing. The third group, he said, go home and visualize while you're sitting on your couch shooting jump shots, but not just shooting jump shots, but imagine the ball going into the hoop. And then after a month, he brought the same group back. The group that actually went to the court every day to practice, their percentage of free throws increased by 24%. The group that didn't practice, that just went home, he brought them back, they didn't increase their percentage of shooting jump throws, free throws at all. The group that did the visualization increased their percentage of successful free throws when they went physically back into the gym by around 21%. So it was very similar to the people that actually were in the gym. So this is what world-class athletes practice. They'll visualize, skiers will visualize the run before they go down. Olympic athletes, you'll see them close their eyes and visualize their routines. And so by tapping into some of this neuroscience, we can actually start to what's called quantum collapsing your self-identity, your future self-identity into your current reality, so that you start to embrace and take on some of these character traits, which is exactly what we do as actors. We sit down and we write out what is this character, and then we start to live in and collapse the character traits of these characters, that when we show up and the cameras are rolling, we are fully integrated with this character, their character traits, their belief systems. And so this is some amazing, powerful stuff that I teach in my communications class and in my Inspire class.
It's interesting listening to you talk about this, because I feel like there's so many people who, you know, they know that visualization is powerful, but, and there are so many experiments and pieces of research on it that validate it. I feel like the closest thing to how real it can be, it, you're talking about a movie, like watching television. It's like the TV is just this like plastic thing sitting there, but we're having this whole experience sitting in front of it because our mind is moving. I feel like sometimes I'll have a scary thought about losing someone I love, and it's like a whole little movie plays in my mind and I feel it all. But one thing that I think is so potent that I want to stick on a little more with you is just like when you're not in yourself and you're trying to become that person and you're in the visualizing, the vision feels good, But in a way, it almost feels like it's so far away from who you are, right? Like people's beliefs tell them like, this can't be real. So there's something magical that happened. And I love that her name is Wendy. Is it Wendy like Spiller? Like she spills a lot. She's a spiller. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess you look at it that way. I call her Wendy the Good Witch.
I love that. I love a Wendy Good Witch. That's good. Is that from Wizard of Oz? Is there a Wendy in it?
Good question.
I think it's Gwenda's the Good Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess another question that I'm having as I'm just kind of listening to you talk about vision is to speak to the people directly now who are listening to us who are like, this all sounds well and good, but I'm just not smart enough for that, or I'm not capable of that, or that's just, I can vision myself like crazy, but I'm just the person that isn't going to be it, or I'm not capable of that. Like a lot of beliefs of it's really hard, and or the belief that the journey has to be no fun. Like, I do believe that everything has a cost of admission when it comes to a fulfilling career. You know, I'm hiring and managing is not my thing. I'm more into creativity and ideas and executing on those. And I'm in a place of hiring and managing people. And so I've really had to do some mindset work on today. I get to interview people that may or may not be the people. And I need to find that enthusiasm, which obviously, as I just said it, I'm clearly don't have a background as an actor because we can hear the lack of enthusiasm. So I feel like I want to meet people where they are with this because you have such potent feedback around visioning. What do we do when they get in the vision and then this voice in their head gets so much louder than the vision?
Yeah, it's a good question. The thing is, we've got to have something that inspires us enough to be able to recognize that even when those negative thoughts come up, we can entertain them. And it's important that we see them and hear that negative voice, because if you ignore that negative voice, it's going to keep getting louder and it's going to keep nagging at you, and possibly you're going to end up self-sabotaging yourself. So we've got to look at what we do on a grander, more spiritual level of who we are and why we are here. And so if I looked at my acting career when I wrote my book, and I've gone on over, for the past 20 years, I've gone on over 2,000 auditions. If you look on my IMDb, I only have about 40 to 50 credits to my name. So if you do the math, that's about a 2% success rate. So I fail 98% of the time, you could say, as an actor. And that's pretty common for most actors. But why do people still do it? Why do people still show up to act? And it's because that's just who they are. And it's a self-expression of who they are. It's not what they do. It's just who you are. So if I were to ask you, on a grander scale, why do you do what you do? Why are you helping all these people craft these amazing talks so that when they stand up in front of an audience, they can not just share information, they have the opportunity to tap into the magic and the inspiration of your words to be able to change the world with how they show up and communicate to audiences. And what I find frustrating is that you have the amazing words, and where I come in is I help people connect to those words. So when they show up, they are not just saying the words, they are connected to the energy and the essence and the inspirational outcome of why it matters that these words are being spoken. And the best speakers in the world, like a Martin Luther King Jr., John F. Kennedy, where it's ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Whereas nowadays you turn on the news and it's all about this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And if you don't vote for me, the world is going to go to shit and the economy is going to go to shit. It's all this negative energy. And I think the most important thing to remember is that people will follow a leader that inspires them, also sees them for who they are. And that's why like Donald Trump is so successful, is because he has given a voice to a lot of people, like him or not. Mm-hmm. He's genius at connecting with people from here. Whereas most politicians will talk about the economy and inflation and this is that, no one connects with you up here. They connect with you here. And so the danger part about that is that it doesn't necessarily matter if what you're saying is the truth, factually truthful, but if people connect with you here, they will want to follow you because they feel like they are being seen and heard. And so that's why when you hear people talk about certain candidates and you ask, why do you like them? It's asking, why do you love your wife?
Yeah.
Why do you love your partner? She makes good chicken. This is the language of the soul. And this is why when you connect with someone on these deep core spiritual profound levels, our brains don't have the ability to explain what the spirit feels. We can feel it on these deep levels. And that's why when we start to learn to become these communicators that can speak to people from these deeper core value places, this is where you really create profound impact on people. So I'm going to return to my question. For you, it's not just about showing up and doing emails every day, right? Mm-hmm. What is the deeper, profound reason of why you do what you do for the people you do it for?
Okay, so this opens up a whole new topic, which is just this idea that a lot of people don't feel like they have that sense of knowing. A lot of people who I know read my book, they're searching for that question of what is that thing that makes them feel like they're going to kind of see beyond those sticky moments and still have that enthusiasm to keep creating and showing up. I also think we live in a world, and I'm sure you're so exposed to that with acting, where people can be really unkind. People can be difficult, right? People can be critical and cynical. And like you said, you need to have a connection to something deeper so that in those moments, you're not identified with that as much as the vision, as much as being connected to what you want. So you can obviously deal with the present and navigate it, but also still hold the enthusiasm and the magic for what you really want, what you're visualizing. So I know like you said, 98% failure, 2% success. Can you talk to me a little bit about what would you do on those lower days to, I don't know, override how those voices, those negative feedbacks, the rejections can start to really take a little bite off of your soul, it feels like sometimes. Even though I think our souls are kind of untouchable, it almost can feel like they grabbed at it and broke something off. How can somebody start to say, what do I deeply want that's going to pull me through those hard moments? And how do I relate differently to these hard moments?
Yeah, you got to get straight with yourself first. And the negative thoughts that keep popping up in your head, those are just inauthentic beliefs and ideas about who we are. That's not the real us.
Yeah.
Who you really are is connected to what lights you up when you are in your most joyous moments. Who you are is, like for me, why I love acting so much and why I'm able to go on these audition after audition and only have a 2% success rate is because on a deep core level, I love telling stories that have a profound effect on people. Mm. And to me, that is bigger than calling. We've got to feel connected on a deeper level to something. And that's why it's important that when we show up at work or in a relationship, that we feel valued for who we are and what we contribute. And I think that's one of the biggest things that CEOs and leaders, managers aren't necessarily aware of, because they're mostly concerned about the bottom line and how much money is coming in the door. But when people feel seen and heard and valued, they are more willing to go that extra mile to make that difference. And so this is what I do in my Inspire course. I create this essentially 6 weeks or 90 days of a space where you can start to explore who you are in these deeper core value systems of your existence. And this is stuff that we don't necessarily play in or talk about. And these are the things that we as professional actors do all the time. We ask these deep questions about what really matters. What is the life or death purpose or outcome if my character, we ask these questions, if my character doesn't get the girl, what will happen to my life? Will I die? Will I never be happy again? What are the things that really matter to you? And even if it's just something to do with my kids are the most important thing to me, great. Then make going to your job the purpose or the reason why you go do your job. You don't have to always find your life purpose in your work.
Right.
But it's important that you find some life purpose in just your existence So that again, when you're showing up in your computer or when you're going to the gym or you're doing these mundane things, it's in service of something bigger that inspires you. So it's, have you ever run a marathon or signed up for a race or something?
Yeah.
So it makes showing up or waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Who wants to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go run in the rain? But if you know that if you, in 2 months, your butt is showing up at the LA Marathon to start that race, you know that in order for me to be able to fulfill on that exciting goal, and you've got to have a real reason why that really matters, it allows you to be able to, in the present moment, show up connected to that future exciting, inspiring vision or version of yourself. Hmm. Because who we are in the present moment is given by who we see ourselves becoming or what's going to be happening in the future. If you are bored or stuck or unexcited about your life right now, man, there's so much opportunity right now, more so than ever, to explore, to learn, to travel, to experience things like never before. Hmm. And it just requires sometimes you doing some deep introspective work in discovering what really inspires you, what really matters to you, and then start planning out what your next 90 days, even just starting there, what your next 90 days looks like in fulfillment of something that sparks the interest of what you do and who you are, and identifying where those negative thoughts come up from. Mm. Those negative thoughts are generally, if you really think about it, if you start to write out what those negative thoughts are, like, what are some of the negative thoughts that come up for you when you're sitting there in your day to day?
Is this ever even going to pay off? Right? Think about the person at the computer that's, I know what this is working me towards. So I'm going to get excited about that. This hopeless feeling, I think a lot of people feel of, is this even going to work? Or am I just going to end with nothing in my hands? You know what I mean? Not even just financially, like spiritually, like, maybe this thing I'm building isn't even going to be what I think it is. Maybe it's not even going to work out. Or yeah, it's like a lot of, what's the point? And I think that's like the existential voice that a lot of people might have in their head.
Yeah, great. Now, have you worked with a client who you wrote a speech for, a TED Talk for, and they killed? Were they just, it was amazing and it was great. And then they came back and just at the deepest core part of who they were like, Ashley, thank you. You supported me in fulfilling on what matters most to me.
Mm.
You had that experience.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that is a strong enough reason and the purpose of why you do what you do?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So I would take a picture of that person up on stage where they're like in front of thousands of people, so that subconsciously you're planting the seeds into your brain. That's why I do this.
Yeah.
Because if you don't fill that space up with the seeds of positivity, mm-hmm. then there's space for the negativity to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to constantly be planting the positive seeds of why we are doing what we are doing. And like they say, idleness is the devil's playground. And this is why every day, the most successful people in the world are the people that have structure. They have it in their calendar. They just have the steps in place that keep them on track with what they say that they're going to do, so that it's not an emotional choice of whether or not I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and put my running shoes on.
Yeah.
I put my running shoes on because I am committed to running the marathon in 3 months. Start to get into that negotiation with your monkey brain about, should I eat that cookie? It's just one cookie. Am I gonna? Then you're dead. You're done. So you've got to really start to identify who you are, because we've got three different parts of our brain, and we identify with these three different parts. And this is what I talk about. It's called the triune brain model, where there's our reptilian brain that is all about survival and making decisions based on getting food and water and shelter and procreating. Then you have your monkey brain, which is driven by creating significance and establishing safety and community and power. And then there's our human conscious brain, which has the ability to look at those other two parts of our brain and delay gratification in service of a higher purpose. But most of the time, if we don't see where we are making our decisions from, we essentially become, we live our life in reaction to our environment rather than what we are committed to. And so this is what I talk about in my classes and my communication course, where you really get straight about who you are, where you are living your life from, which part of your brain. And then there's four different parts of who we are in terms of how we show up and make decisions in our life. We have our physical needs, we have our emotional needs, we have our mental needs, and we have our spiritual needs. And sometimes if we're not clear about what those are, we let our physical needs take precedent over our spiritual needs. We let our emotional needs get in the way of what we are truly committed to. So when we're pissed off, we'll take our phones and write that text message. And then 30 minutes later, after we've calmed down, we're like, oh shit, I can't believe I sent that message.
Yeah.
We show up in life fractionalized. Mm-hmm. And so what I teach is how to fully integrate all the different parts of who we are to create the character, essentially. And it's kind of a misnomer, because people start to think, then I'm not really being the real me.
Right.
But if the real, you got to ask yourself, the real you is not really the real you. The right. real you is based on what your parents taught you, what school taught you, what religion taught you, what your society taught you. So you're showing up essentially almost an amalgamation of all these other ideas that are not authentic to you.
Yep.
This is what Tony Robbins talks about when he says, I have constructed my self-identity to go out there into the world to be the motivational human being that I am.
I love it. Such a good conversation. Those of you who are listening and resonating, obviously he has, Colin over here, I talk about it, you like you're not here. You have your retreat April 25th to 29th, 2024. I believe it's in Arizona. Yes. Yes. Scottsdale. Yeah. And I think that there's something just unmatchable to going deep into a immersive experience. Like, I had a friend last night, we went to dinner in LA, and she's coming out of a really challenging romantic relationship, and it ended a year ago, but the holidays made her feel all of it again. And, you know, thinking about where she was last year, and she's been in therapy, and I was just telling her, I'm like, you sound like you need something immersive. Like, the bites that you get every week of therapy are great, and they move you forward, but it seems like you need just like a pop. And so I know that you have your retreat, and then you also have your class that people can take called Beyond Impact, which is 4 weeks. So I'm excited for everybody to check it out. Is there anywhere else people can find you and keep learning from you that you recommend they go?
Yeah, I would say Instagram is the best place to stay connected to what I'm doing. I'm very active on there. The link in my bio has information about my upcoming Inspire class. It's a 90-day manifestation class where every other Wednesday we're going to be showing up to be talking about the different parts of who we are and creating these new inspiring self-identities. And I'm going to be doing some meditation, some visualization. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of this stuff, I grew up in the Catholic religion. And when I go on Instagram, and even like when I hold, like, this is a rose quartz, or like, yeah. I after being introduced to some of these, you know, like manifestation and crystals, it's funny how some people have a really negative reaction to some of this stuff, because they think it's sort of maybe witchcraft, or that, you know, all you need is Jesus, or all you need to do is pray. And honestly, we're talking about the same thing. It really comes down to connecting to the deeper spiritual part of who you are. And so whatever you believe in, as far as like the deeper spiritual part of who you are, whether you believe in God or universe or Allah or whatever, essentially it really is that grander spiritual part of our existence, that when you connect to that, whatever you call it, and this is where another thing that I'm trying to create a safer space where people can feel more welcomed in having these conversations, because I feel like out there in society, we get so charged about our political beliefs and our religious beliefs, where ultimately at the end of the day, if you think about it, we're all wanting to have the same thing. We want to feel valued. We want to be able to provide for our families. We want to feel connected on the different levels of who we are. We want to feel love. We want to be able to express love. And then from that place, we can start to build our lives based on what resonates with us and start to really look at, are you believing in a belief system because your parents told you to do it, or because society told you to do it, or because it truly resonates with you?
Yeah.
And this is a very difficult thing that a lot of people are experiencing right now. And a lot of people are leaving religions in droves, but they're looking for a deeper spiritual connection to something. So a lot of people are feeling lost. And this is where I'm like, hey, I don't claim to have all the answers, but what I've found that works for me in my life and helping me live a more fulfilling and impactful and a life of service to make a difference is a collection of these ideas and insights and belief systems that are essentially more universal and open-minded. So that's why I would love for anyone to, if you want to check this out, head to my Instagram. You can also go to beyondimpactconsulting.com, and that's more information about my upcoming communications class. And would love to have anyone who's interested in coming out to play and learn some of these amazing insights and strategies that we learn in acting class that I'm telling you will have a profound impact in your communication and just every aspect of your life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Ash.
Thank you so much for tuning into the U-Turn podcast. And thank you again so much for our sponsors. We are here because of you. And to our listeners, thank you for checking out our sponsors. We always pick people and brands that we trust and we believe in. And just for listening to the show, writing your reviews on the Apple app, and just being willing to make your own U-turns. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.